This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time, Michael. All right, the Demaryius Thomas thing we talked about. Him being inducted, put up on the Ring of Honor. Is it the Ring of Honor or Ring of Fame?
Ring of Fame.
Ring of Fame. Thank you, Michael.
You were a Broncos fan.
I'm not weird like you are with it.
I mean, that's Broncos fan dumb 101.
John Elway called Broncos country Broncos land. I think I'm okay. I mean, he is Mr. Bronco, and he screwed up, so I'm okay. Anyway, Demaryius Thomas is great, obviously, well-deserving. It had me thinking of other receivers that are not up there. Buy or sell, Ed McCaffrey should be in the Ring of Fame.
I will buy that.
Why isn't he? He's one of the most beloved Broncos of all time. Would you agree?
I would agree.
His numbers were good?
I'd have to look at his numbers.
He's like number three. He's like number four on most lists, I think, isn't he? Like, it's Rod Smith, DT, Shannon Sharp, and then Ed McCaffrey.
I think if you have Cookie Gilchrist on there,
yeah,
and you should have. I mean, Cookie Gilchrist was with the Broncos for 1 year.
I don't know why. Like, I seriously, there's no good answer for it. He's one of the greats. Would you agree that Ed McCaffrey is one of the great Broncos?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very strange to me. And obviously, I have a weird... It was weird how things ended here at UNC, and I don't think he's a huge fan of the show, to be quite honest with you. But
I'll call him and ask him.
I got his number.
I mean, I do, too. He calls me for advice all the time.
I doubt that. What advice would Ed McCaffrey ask from you?
All kinds of advice, except he never called me for coaching advice, so maybe that's why they didn't do so well.
What would you have told him?
Win more.
Oh, okay. Speaking of UNC, will they be ranked after... Will we wake up... Well, it would be Monday, I guess. Will they be ranked after Saturday's win or whatever against Sacramento State? Will they be ranked?
Well, you're calling them to win.
I don't know. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
I didn't know that.
You know it now. Will they be ranked? Will they be a top 25 FCS team when we're talking next week?
I've so far, early week, my pick is that they will not win.
Oh, look at you. Raining on the parade. But they're going to beat...
Montana State,
right, yeah, of course. That's the one that is on your brain. Buy or sell, refresh. Jay Norvell will be the head coach of the Colorado State Rams next season.
I will sell that one.
Yeah, you're still selling it.
I don't think this last game made a difference. They're going to have to win a number of them, perhaps go 500, more than 500 the next few. I don't think it's going to happen.
Are you still saying they got to be in the championship game?
I don't think they have to be in the championship game, but...
Give me a number.
It would help.
Give me a number. You're John Weber. You're the athletic director at CSU. Season ends, and I've got to make a decision to sign a contract extension with you or show you the door. How many wins does Jay Norvell have to bring you, John Weber? What do I have to do?
I think it's got to be seven.
Seven total or seven more?
Seven total, yeah, because the first half of the season
That'd
says...
be great.
First half says, no, you... You well, have to basically run
wait,
the table.
Total seven wins, because there's only six games left. So you're saying total seven wins.
Total seven wins.
So you'd go... That would be pretty decent, man. You go 5-1. And suddenly you're back to an 8-win team, and they said that was kind of the floor for them and kind of a clunky year. That would actually be pretty miraculous if they're able to do that.
Yeah, their offense was – it helps that their offense, after being dead, they went to mummy to revive it.
That was just so bad. I know you've made –
that is one demerit.
Yeah.
One
demerit
strike.
Thomas.
Yeah.
That's two now.
Yeah.
Speaking
yeah.
of demerits,
that,
Thomas.
That was a bad – that was rough. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I want it to work so badly for Jay Norvell. I don't typically want teams I follow to move on from coaches. Selfishly, it's just nice to be able to have a connection with them and get them on the shows. And not to say the new coach come in, we couldn't do that. But I'm rooting hard for this dude. And I've been picking against CSU, and it's been going well for me. Until last Friday night, and they win big, 49-21. I'm still at this weird spot. Is Fresno State really not that good? Did CSU just have one of those games? Because there's a lot of teams in college football, Michael, this happens to. You're a big college football fan. You could be a bad team, and you can suddenly have a really good game. And then the next thing, you could just, everything goes right. You get the turnovers, the penalty calls go your way, defense lapses, all that stuff can just happen. Sometimes it's a perfect storm. That is my fear. And I'm telling you right now, I'm on the teeter totter. I'm right in the middle of it. And I feel like it could very well be that that was the case. Fresno State's not that good. And the Rams just happen to have one of those games. But on the off chance that they can do this again against a team like Hawaii, who Hawaii's not bad. I mean, dude, they're 5-2. Hawaii is a decent football team. The Rams, I believe, are favored in this game. And that's one at the beginning of the season, even before Hawaii started. I had a feeling Hawaii might be a decent team. So that's a tough one, and that's a big game for Hawaii. Because they're everybody's within reach of getting into the conference championship game right now, save for Air Force. Nevada's 0-2 and 1-5. I'm just going strictly mathematically here on the conference standings right now and the conference records. Don't you feel like I've asked you this before, to be the second team in the to make it to the championship game? Is two losses the max?
Yeah, because this conference is just terrible.
So if you lose three, you're out. Would you be comfortable saying if you lose three games in your conference, you're out of this thing?
I don't know, because again, this is not a good conference.
They could beat each other up.
I mean, this is not like one of these. Oh, the Pac-12 is beating itself up like it used to do all the time. This just feels like they don't have a lot of talent.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Like the Big 12, I think there's a lot of talent there, but they're beating each other up. This is kind of a battle of not greats. I don't think anybody's really standing out in a big way. You know, Boise State's 4-2. They've had a really tough schedule. San Diego State might be legit. UNLV's undefeated, but I think we all kind of look at their schedule and wonder how good are they. But I do think, like, for Hawaii, if you go 3-1, you beat CSU this weekend, you're right there in the thick of this thing. It's going to be a very busy weekend, very interesting weekend in the Mountain West. Some huge games. I mean, we're gonna find out a lot about these teams. Like, even the Wyoming Air Force game, Air Force is out of it. I don't see four losses. If they win the rest of the way, they're out of it. Utah State's in the mix. San Jose State's in the mix. They play Friday night at 7 o'clock. Hawaii, CSU, that's a swing kind of game. UNLV and Boise State right there. That could even be the preview. Boise State is listed as a 12.5-point favorite in this game. Texter from the 405, Norvell has to win a bowl game to stay as coach. Oh, win a bowl game. See, I don't... I don't put a lot of stock in the bowl games. I put more stock in getting to a bowl game. Because now you got guys that can transfer and leave and all this stuff, and that was certainly...
Bowl games mean nothing.
I don't think it's a bowl game they have to win. I know if you went to... Were you one of those 405 that went to the game last year? Fans that went were really pissed off. And I get it. You go to watch your team, they finally make a bowl game, and they were just awful. And you were like, man, we spent a lot of time and money on this, and they hyped it up, and this is what they put out on the field. I just think that with the transfer rules now, they've changed it, the portal window, so it might help that, so maybe it does put more meaning back onto it, but I've never been one to base anything off of a bowl game. Now, when you stack that with a bad season, I mean, they lost to Miami of Ohio 43-17. And in the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl. But then when you stack that with what we've seen so far, minus the Fresno State game, it all kind of adds to it, I guess. There are a lot of fans that live and die by that, though, that are like, oh, you didn't win a bowl game? You get embarrassed in a bowl game like that? Well, that's, and I credit you, because that's a fan that says, I'm tired of just being, oh, let's go win 5 or 6. I want to compete, and I want to compete at the highest level. And that's the whole idea with going to the Pac-12. And that's why the pressure is really mounting on Jay Norvell, because CSU views themselves as being a powerful... You might disagree, but they believe they have the facilities and all the resources to be a Power 4 type of team. And they believe they can help make the Pac-12 that. A Power 5.
Dream on!
Well, that,
dream
but,
on!
But that, oh, please don't ever do that ever again. Ever. Like, ever do that one.
Dream on!
I get where you're coming from. You want better. You don't want to be like, hey, can we win 6? Can we get to a bowl game? You want to actually win the bowl games you're going to. You want to be knowing that you're like a bowl team now, basically. Like, you're one win away from it. That's what you'd like to be. Like, you get into, you know, week 7. What are we in? Week 7. Game 7 for the Rams. And you want to be at that point where you're just a win or two away from at least being a bowl team early. You want to get that accomplished in October. But that's just not where they are right now. And the expectations change. I don't know. Maybe I'm letting Jay Norvell off the hook here a little bit. I've been pretty critical of him this year, but I thought the move to make Matt Mummy the OC, the play caller, was a good move. And now people are, like I said, dude, that was one of those, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if it works, it's going to be what took you so long. And if it doesn't work, it's going to be you don't have the right staff, and you're making bad decisions left and right. Same with the quarterback situation. What took you so long?
Look, I think the replacing the quarterback, that taking so long is actually worse than giving up the play calling. Like, I feel like that's even harder, giving up the play calling than replacing the quarterback. Yep. But I commend him for doing both.
I think it's
right to do so.
If it works out, I'm going to look back at that and say, that's a guy that swallowed his pride and made a great move.
He's had to swallow a lot of pride.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be a passing offense, and they ain't.
And they need to run the ball.
They're a passing offense in a conference that spells weak, W-E-A-K.
That's weird. 18 minutes after the hour, Sean Keeler, Keeling Me Softly, coming up next. What are we going to talk about? Buffs, Rams, Broncos, soccer? Who knows? We'll get into all of that coming up with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. It's the whole show powered by Chevron.
You want Broncos games and coverage? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA all season.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Singing my life with his
It is time for our weekly Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post's Sean Keeler. Sean, my friend, how are you? Always great to catch up with you.
I'm good, but a voice on the phone before you put me on just said, first, I'm playing the song you guys like, click, and it's terrible. Click.
Yeah, he's a.
Is that Micah? What are we doing here?
He's an awful person, Sean. That's all. I mean, what more can I say? I try to apologize to all of our guests, but that's all I can say. He's a terrible human.
He has terrible ears.
Yeah, he does. You should listen to some of the junkie.
You do not do Lauryn Hill like that on our.
No,
brother. You do not.
No, I'm sorry. I apologize in advance. I should have apologized in advance, but I'm apologizing now. And so,
I'm glad to be here regardless, my friend. What's up?
Well, you know, there's a lot. I mean, we got so many things to talk about. Big weekend last weekend, Sean. Obviously, and I want to get into the World Cup bid too. I want to talk about that because I know you put a story out about that. But I thought last weekend was like survival weekend for a lot of not that Coach Prime was going anywhere, but if they want to make anything of the season, they needed to win.
You just got darker than me. On that survival theme right there.
Yeah, sure. But
he's going anywhere. His body's falling apart, but it was survival weekend.
Well, I'm hoping for the best, obviously, but yeah, that was probably poorly said, but still, you get it.
I get it.
Jay Norvell, certainly in survival mode. They beat Fresno State, somehow looked amazing in that game. And so, yeah, we had a lot of Wyoming. I know you don't push a lot on Wyoming, but that was crazy there, too. So it was a weird weekend. It was a positive weekend for most of the kind of area-ish teams that we follow.
I got a coworker's email on Saturday night that said, you know, if it wasn't for Air Force, it would be the greatest weekend in Colorado college football history.
Well, and Air Force still put up a million points, so at least when they're losing, it's fun to watch.
Right, which is a whole nother kettle of fish. And if Wyoming's not our problem, the Zoomies are really not our problem. But, yeah, it was good. And, you know, I'm happy for all parties involved. You know, I said this to someone I didn't see a Friday. If you were there, I apologize. But I was sitting at FOCO, and I said, you know what? I'm kind of tired of the fire Jay Norvell angle and the fire Jay Norvell pitchforks coming and bringing those out. Good to see him turn it around. And now, because I've followed you socially, I know you referenced this, I think, last night or this morning. I want to see him back it up. I think you found something, or at least you've flipped a switch. and the trick is kind of maintaining that, because I think – we finally saw, in a moment of desperation, the Colorado State team we thought we would see more of. Like, that's peak them. That's who they are. They were efficient. Rousseau was efficient. That was good in the red zone. They've got 3 to 4 running backs that are pretty good, and they lean on them. And no, it is not rock 'em, sock 'em, flying through the air, Air Raid Nevada football, but you had your force and takeaways. You're doing all the stuff that they kind of did last year, right? Like it looked like last year. And I think, I don't know if it's what Rams fans want, because they were chirping last year about style points, but it's certainly closer to what you need.
Yeah, and I'm with you on this. I've been one that's certainly been really vocal on this show, social media too, about Jay Norvell and, hey, this ain't it. But I am with you. I'm tired of it. And that was I picked Fresno State to win. I picked Fresno State to cover. I thought they'd blow them out of the water. There is the part of me though. It's like I'm on the teeter totter right now. It could either be Fresno State is not as good as we thought. Everything went right for CSU, because even bad teams have those days.
Yeah.
Or Fresno State is a decent team and CSU just that they just weren't doing what they should have been doing all year, I guess. But I think the Hawaii game will tell us a lot, because I tell you, I think Hawaii is a really good football team.
Yeah, I think the truth is in the middle. If you looked at Fresno's 5-1, those five, they're not great. You know, again, we don't mean to dog on last year's Rams, but there was, you know, some of the comments people made about, boy, that's a schedule that's going to be hard not to win 8, and they did. Yeah, that's kind of Fresno's slate. They got rolled by Kansas. So when they played anybody good, or anybody with a pulse. They got run over even worse than the Rams did, relatively speaking. So yeah, I think you had a little of both. I think you had peak CSU, and like you said, those were hard to get every week. I used to have a theory about, like, I would call it like 3-6-3 with a college football season. You have three games where you play out of your mind. You're going to have three games where you just don't show up. You're just turds, basically, in stronger language than that. And you had six where you kind of are what you are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, that's where you were. And I think we certainly got a peak, one of those three peaks, out of CSU last Saturday. And the question is, you know, do you need another one of those to be the Wyoming – oh, sorry, to be Wyoming. So ahead of the curve.
Well, Wyoming's ahead of the curve, too. They're posting out their uniforms that they're going to be wearing for that game.
Right,
they got Air
right.
Force
That's
first.
Coming. No, we're getting to the border war. It's coming. But in the case of Hawaii, that a team that's on paper is kind of like a better throwing version of Fresno. I wasn't impressed with Fresno's passing game, like, at all. And I met Kurt Warner. I used to cover Kurt Warner in his Des Moines days and know people who know him well. Son of Kurt is not son of Dion. That's a very different QB.
Very different, yeah.
Unfortunately for them, but not unfortunate for CSU, who took advantage of that. They're going to get a better QB and a better passing attack to try to counter this week, and I'll be very curious if they can do it. But one good way to beat an explosive passing team is to never let them have the ball, and one good way to never let them have the ball is to run it down their throats.
And that's what I want to see. And, you know, I know, me on my little couch, it seems easy enough for me to throw out what I think they should do. But sometimes, Sean, we've been doing this a while. Sometimes it is obvious, and it's just you got three really good running backs. Run it more. Just run it more than you pass. That's all I ask.
Well, you got to play to your strengths. And for all of the hits that he's taken this year, we gave him flowers for this last year. Jay Norvell lost his best player, who happened to be Torrey Harden, who, as we know, was and is really, really good. And he had to build, and I believe they lost the tight end there too, right, for a time to start the year. Still Warren, I think he's been out now twice.
Yeah.
For extended time, so they had to change what they were doing kind of on the fly, and they also had a really good offense. They had a really good offensive line last year, and they had a really experienced secondary and leaders in the secondary, and they played to that, and they got on a win streak, and they got to a bowl and did all the things that Rams fans have been asking for what feels like forever, including beating Air Force in Wyoming for the first time in together since, what, 2015? I think that's right. 2012? I'm going to get the date wrong.
No, I think you're right, yeah.
I think it was a decade. So you finally get all those things, and to some degree it still wasn't good enough, and that's a whole other discussion. But I think knowing to play to what you have is what good coaches do. And they can say, well, yeah, well, what Mike Leach does, what he does. Yeah, but there was some adapting there, too. I think you have to be realistic about your roster because you want to build a roster for what you want to do, but the really good coaches then have the ability to adapt to a roster of what they have because of injuries and what have you, because those are going to happen. And CSU's injury report is just stupid long right now, and that's a whole other discussion, too.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, they've dealt with a lot, and I know it sounds like excuses sometimes, but sometimes you just have to tell the truth and say, well, without these certain players, they're definitely worse. Without one of their stud offensive linemen, without a couple of their stud defensive linemen, and as you mentioned, Jackson Warren, we all have high hopes for that dude. You're obviously not as good of a football team when those guys are down.
No, and I think there is, I don't know that it gives you a complete pass on whatever this season is going to be. And if there's a stinker next week, I'd like to think, if you're a Rams fan, I mentioned the 3-6-3 theory, that CSU has blown at least two of their turd games. You'd like to think, well, certainly UNC, no disrespect, and hey, props to Ed for getting big wins and doing what they're doing. But you'd have to think that was one of them, right? Again, five giveaways.
Yeah. It was bad.
That's a turd game. That's a game you didn't show up, and you still were able to escape. I'd like to think that maybe they're out of that, but gosh, I mean, in a way it's homecoming there. You got the hoop scrimmage at noon. You got a good vibe. Hopefully people coming back will be very curious what the crowd is, because we mentioned that was going to be a thing to watch, win or lose, but especially lose. Wasn't good. If homecoming is not good, you know, you say the Friday night, well, it's prep. Friday night football in Colorado, you know, even though it's a national audience, you know, we're on a losing streak. It's kind of hard to build that back up. Well, if you got homecoming and you're coming off a pretty nice win on a Saturday, early evening, late afternoon, I think that's going to be pretty telling too. And we will see how Rams fans vote with their feet.
Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. Sean, your latest column in the Denver Post, I'll read the headline, "Where Did Denver's World Cup 2026 Bid Go Wrong?" You kind of went into great detail there, so talk to us about that. This one's fascinating.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you bringing it up. And there's probably your standard Google search goes, well, why is the fat guy writing about this now? USMNT was in town last night, the men's national team. It's probably the last time we're going to see him. It's great that they were here. Not great that Pulisic got hurt. It was great listening to Pochettino try to explain going from Austin to Denver and how much he did not enjoy the change of climate and the change of altitude. But, you know, he's not from here. He has to kind of figure this stuff out. But it's been kind of burning a hole as a soccer fan, full disclosure. And an international soccer fan, of all the Keeler sins, I'm also a globalist, but I'm a global soccer fan. It just kind of burns my backside that the Denver 2026 thing just kind of fizzled out, and I'm married to a Kansas Cityan, and she kind of ribs me all the time that her hometown is getting the World Cup next summer, and we're not. So I've been trying to reach out to people involved. Some got back, some didn't, as to what exactly happened. And it kind of comes down to the same three things, and four or five, if you want to. There's all kinds of theories that were said because the soccer community in Denver, it's not Broncos country. It's not even, you know, Buff Nation or Rams Nation, but it's everybody's pretty tight and everybody talks. But the people on the committee, I was ready to kind of lay a hammer to them, and they're like, "Look, you do know that FIFA kind of changed the rules on us mid-flight, right?" And I'm like, "No, tell me what was on with this." And like, "Well, they give you a document where you are on the hook for any expenses on top of the initial bid, and they get all the profits and you don't." And a bunch of cities now, if you can kind of look this up, including Kansas City and Texas, and most certainly the two California sites, I think in the Bay and LA, are now having to go back to the state and the government for more money. And they're like, as you can imagine right now, going, "No, we don't have it." And so they're going as high as, obviously, Donald Trump is a soccer fan, kind of paradoxically. And he has been touting the heck out of this and is yelling at Boston and yelling about making it a political thing. And saying we also only have so much more money we can give to certain states. And a lot of blue states are getting these games, and that's become a tense thing. And so it's got all these layers. And the folks in the Denver committee are like, you know what, given where we're at politically and financially as a state and as a country, we're kind of glad we don't have this. Now, I have a bunch of business owners who I know downtown who firmly disagree with that because they would have liked the traffic. And I think next June they're going to disagree with that. But that was kind of their story, and they really don't have any regrets, which surprised me, really. It really did.
Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. Yeah, no, this is a great read. I encourage you folks, if you're on that soccer side of things, too, to check this out at the Denver Post. Hey, Sean, while I have you. We haven't done this in a while. You want to do rapid fire for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anytime.
Rapid fire, Michael. Don't screw it up.
Rapid fire.
I didn't screw it up. Good job. Sean, I've asked you this before. Jay Norvell, will he be the head coach of the Colorado State Rams next season?
No.
The Colorado Buffaloes, I mean, I don't think they're going to be...
That was a hesitant no.
No, that was good. That was good.
I'm still flipping a coin. Can you ask me after, like, if they're 4-4.
Okay. We'll reload it. The Buffaloes have... They're off this weekend. They have five games remaining. Will they get to a bowl game?
No.
The Denver Broncos over-under to start the season was 10.5. Will the Broncos win over that amount?
No.
I was reading this from the Denver Post about the Nuggets and David Adelman's maybe new philosophy on defense. They might want to be a little bit like OKC. Do you see a small hope or chance that the Nuggets have a defense that's aggressive like that?
Yes, but that's a yes like my Norvell. No.
I love it.
Soft yes.
You passed the test, my friend. Well done.
Thank you.
You got him answered.
The ones I had no doubt on. Those are easy.
Those are easy. That's when
pop,
you know.
Pop.
That's when
first
you know.
The last one. Yeah, I gotta see it. That's a magic eight ball. You got to shake a few more times.
I like it. Sean, always appreciate it, man. Love your stuff, as you know, and always love catching up with you every Wednesday.
Likewise, sir. Thank you.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post. He says no. He's hesitant to say no on Jay Norvell. Very, very positive that the Broncos are not going to win. They're not going to get to 11 wins.
I'm going to disagree with him on that.
I think they're going to get to 11 wins.
We'll both disagree with him on that.
I think they're going to beat the Giants. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. I think they're going to beat the Cowboys. I think they're going to beat the Texans. I think they're going to beat the Raiders. I think October and then early November is going to be a very kind situation for the Broncos. What are they at right now? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think they'll be at 8 wins before they take on the Kansas City Chiefs on November 16th.
I think we're going to be calling it Bronctober.
Yeah, we might. Might do that. Might do that. 40 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Interesting stuff there from Mr. Keeler. It's a weird time, man. It's a very strange time. He says he doesn't think the Buffs are going to go bowling. So they're 3-4. They have 5 games remaining. Can they win 3 of the 5? Utah, Arizona, West Virginia, Arizona State, Kansas State. Is there 3 wins in there? Ooh, I don't think so. I like Caden Salter. I do. I think he has some things to work on, obviously. I've said this, but now we're getting to the point where it's like, I mean, if you beat Utah, then suddenly things are crazy. And I was feeling good about Iowa State, Mike. I don't know. I don't know yet on that one. We'll find out. It's on the road. That's at Utah. That's a tough matchup. Broncos going up against the Giants this weekend. Michael? Big game at home. Suddenly this is a big game. Are the Giants good? Are we ready to say that the Giants are good? I don't know that we are.
I don't think we're ready to say that. I think there was an Eagles hangover.
Yeah. I mean,
after the Broncos showed the league how to beat the Eagles.
The Eagles have issues right now. And the Giants caught them at the perfect time.
Eagles have issues. They need tissues because they're crying.
They beat the Chargers, too, but they also lost to the Saints in between that. I'm not ready for it. I mean, everybody, you Giants, you got to watch out. This is going to be a much harder game than you think. Jackson Dart's got this team believing, and Cam Scadabo, I do worry about that guy. He's pretty damn good. He'll be good for a couple years, and then he'll... The way he plays, there's not a lot of longevity there. Would have liked to see him in a Broncos uniform for a couple seasons, though. That would have been kind of cool. That's pretty good defense, though. Dexter Lawrence is a monster. You know, he's 6'4", 340 pounds. That guy takes up a lot of real estate. Can the Broncos run the ball on the Giants? That's a good defense. Can they run the ball? Can Bo Nix? Where are we on the Bo Nix watch right now, Mike? Like, your Bo Nix-o-meter, is it still pretty high up on the he's the franchise quarterback thing?
Yeah, he's the franchise quarterback. He's going through a little bit of a slump right now. But just get those weapons going.
Yeah. I just want to see it.
A little bit of a problem that we're missing an offensive lineman.
It's a really ugly offense right now. There was a couple moments where it looks really good, and then it's just it's not fun football. The Broncos are not fun to watch on offense. On defense, they're great.
get him out of the pocket, let him throw on the run.
I do want to see if, like, Evan Engram, J.K. Dobbins, I talked about this yesterday, I know we got to take a break, but are we preserving those guys? Is that why we're not seeing a heavy workload from either of those guys? Because I think both of those dudes are much needed in this offense. 49 minutes after the hour, what did we learn? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. Don't go anywhere.
It's October, and Good Morning NoCo is scary good. Ah! Weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 15th day of October? We learned that maybe Wyoming Air Force is going to be the most complicated game for me to predict on Friday, since the picks are on that day and everybody knows it. Eric Gibson Jr., that is a leader of men right there. Backup quarterback, does whatever the coach asks him to do. Speaks extremely well of his teammates. He's awesome. We learned there. Sean Keeler, hesitant to say Jay Norvell's not going to be back next year, but he still said it. And he doesn't think the Buffs are going to make a bowl this year. Michael, what'd you learn?
I learned that the nation has their Mordor eye on the UNC Bears, and they're thinking maybe they should put the Bears in the top 25, possibly. They got some votes.
Why do you have to do like a nerd thing all the time?
You're a big fan of the Mordor.
I am, but I don't have to install it and forcefully install it every chance I get.
That wasn't forcefully. It was a good drop.
Nah,
I dropped it in right there.
Wasn't great. Wasn't great.
Also learned that Keeler's not as big of a Broncos believer as I am.
Well, yes. I do think they're going to win 11 games. I think it's happening. At least 11. All right, that'll do it. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.